33. I am the hounded slave. I wince at the bite of the dogs. Hell and despair are upon me. Crack and again crack the marksman. I clutch the rails of the fence. My gore dribs, thinned with the ooze of my skin. I fall on the weeds and stones. The riders spur their unwilling horses, haul close, taunt my dizzy ears, and beat me violently over the head with whipstocks. Agonies are one of my changes of garments. I do not ask the wounded person how he feels. I myself become the wounded person. My hurts turn livid upon me as I lean on a cane and observe. I am the mashed fireman with breastbone broken. Tumbling walls buried me in their debris. Heat and smoke I inspired. I heard the yelling shouts of my comrades. I heard the distant click of their picks and shovels. They have cleared the beams away. They tenderly lift me forth. I lie in the night air in my red shirt. The pervading hush is for my sake. Painless, after all, I lie exhausted, but not so unhappy. White and beautiful are the faces around me. The heads are bared of their fire caps. The kneeling crowd fades with the light of the torches. Distant and dead resuscitate. They show as the dial or move as the hands of me. I am the clock myself. I am an old artillerist. I tell of my fort's bombardment. I am there again. Again the long roll of the drummers, again the attacking cannon, mortars, again to my listening ears the cannon responsive. I take part, I see and hear the whole. The cries, curses, roar, the plaudits for well-aimed shots, the ambulanza slowly passing, trailing its red drip. Workmen searching after damages, making indispensable repairs, the fall of grenades through the rent roof, the fan-shaped explosion, the whiz of limbs, heads, stone, wood, iron, high in the air. Again gurgles the mouth of my dying general. He furiously waves with his hand. He gasps through the clot, "Mind not me, mind the entrenchments."
34. Now I tell what I knew in Texas in my early youth. I tell not the fall of Alamo. Not one escaped to tell the fall of Alamo. The 150 are dumb yet at Alamo. 'Tis the tale of the murder in cold blood of 412 young men. Retreating, they had formed in a hollow square with their baggage for breastworks. 900 lives out of the surrounding enemies, 9 times their number, was the price they took in advance. Their colonel was wounded and their ammunition gone. They treated for an honorable capitulation, received writing and seal, gave up their arms, and marched back, prisoners of war. They were the glory of the race of rangers, matchless with horse, rifle, song, supper, courtship, large, turbulent, generous, handsome, proud, and affectionate, bearded, sunburnt, dressed in the free costume of hunters, not a single one over 30 years of age. The second first day morning, they were brought out in squads and massacred. It was beautiful early summer. The work commenced about 5 o'clock and was over by 8. None obeyed the command to kneel. Some made a mad and helpless rush. Some stood stark and straight. A few fell at once, shot in the temple or heart. The living and dead lay together. The maimed and mangled dug in the dirt. The newcomers saw them there. Some, half-killed, attempted to crawl away. These were dispatched with bayonets or battered with the blunts of muskets. A youth not 17 years old seized his assassin till 2 more came to release him. The 3 were all torn and covered with the boy's blood. At 11 o'clock began the burning of the bodies. That is the tale of the murder of the 412 young men. 35. Would you hear of an old-time sea fight? Would you learn who won by the light of the moon and stars? List to the yarn as my grandmother's father, the sailor, told it to me. Our foe was no skulk in his ship, I tell you, said he. His was the surly English pluck, and there is no tougher or truer, and never was and never will be. Along the lowered eave he came horribly raking us. We closed with him, the yards entangled, the cannon touched, my captain lashed fast with his own hands. We had received some 18-pound shots under the water. On our lower gun deck, two large pieces had burst at the first fire, killing all around and blowing up overhead. Fighting at sundown, fighting at dark, 10 o'clock at night, the full moon well up, our leaks on the gain, and 5 feet of water reported, the master-at-arms loosing the prisoners confined in the afterhold to give them a chance for themselves. The transit to and from the magazine is now stopped by the sentinels. They see so many strange faces they do not know whom to trust. Our frigate takes fire. The other asks if we demand quarter, if our colors are struck and the fighting done. Now I laugh content, for I hear the voice of my little captain. We have not struck, he composedly cries. We have just begun our part of the fighting. Only 3 guns are in use. One is directed by the captain himself against the enemy's mainmast. 2, well served with grape and canister, silence his musketry and clear his decks. The tops alone second the fire of this little battery, especially the main top. They hold out bravely during the whole of the action. Not a moment cease. The leaks gain fast on the pumps. The fire eats toward the powder magazine. One of the pumps has been shot away. It is generally thought we are sinking. Serene stands the little captain. He is not hurried. His voice is neither high nor low. His eyes give more light to us than our battle lanterns. Toward 12, there in the beams of the moon, they surrender to us. 36. Stretched and still lies the midnight, 2 great hulls motionless on the breast of the darkness, our vessel riddled and slowly sinking, preparations to pass to the one we have conquered, the captain on the quarterdeck coldly giving his orders through a countenance white as a sheet, nearby the corpse of the child that served in the cabin, the dead face of an old salt with long white hair and carefully curled whiskers, the flames, spite of all that can be done, flickering aloft and below, the husky voices of the 2 or 3 officers yet fit for duty, formless stacks of bodies and bodies by themselves, dabs of flesh upon the masts and spars, cut of cordage, dangle of rigging, slight shock of the soothe of waves, black and impassive guns, litter of powder parcels, strong scent, a few large stars overhead, silent and mournful shining, delicate sniffs of sea breeze, smells of sedgy grass and fields by the shore, death messages given in charge to survivors, the hiss of the surgeon's knife, the gnawing teeth of his saw, wheeze, cluck, swash of falling blood, short wild scream, and long, dull, tapering groan. These so, these irretrievable. 37. You laggards there on guard, look to your arms. In at the conquered doors they crowd. I am possessed. Embody all presences, outlawed or suffering. See myself imprisoned, shaped like another man, and feel the dull, unintermitted pain. For me, the keepers of convicts shoulder their carbines and keep watch. It is I let out in the morning and barred at night. Not a mutineer walks handcuffed to jail, but I am handcuffed to him and walk by his side. I am less the jolly one there and more the silent one with sweat on my twitching lips. Not a youngster is taken for larceny, but I go up too and am tried and sentenced. Not a cholera patient lies at the last gasp, but I also lie at the last gasp. My face is ash-colored, my sinews gnarl. Away from me, people retreat. Askers embody themselves in me, and I am embodied in them. I project my hat, sit shamefaced, and beg.